This is PFW in Progress.
The best undiscovered female voices will sing on this stage tonight with one definite goal: to win your vote. You decide their destiny. You make the call. The competition is on. Let's go. This is
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I like that, Fred.
I think it was a complete and utter mess. It didn't work. It was all over the place. You were forgetting your words. It just didn't work.
Lightly.
I really, really, really hated that. Sorry.
Paul Perillo.
Are you drunk?
No, not at all.
No. I thought it was ridiculous.
And Andy. And Andy?
Last week you indicated that you are on a different page.
Well, let's just redefine that as correct page.
Andy Hart.
No, being serious, I watched the show back and I have to say, if I was giving myself marks out of 10, I'd give myself a 10.
Some guy named Tom.
The reality is, it is actually more than just singing. It is about personality. It's about the right choice of song. You can't come up on a stage like tonight and be in your own world and hope that you're going to interest the American audience, because they're going to forget that performance three performances later. So not your best night by a mile.
And you never know. Rory might stop by.
You are cute. You're likable.
Nice.
I think America, if they haven't already, are going to fall in love with you.
PFW in Progress.
There's nothing much you can do.
And there were parts during the performance where it was actually painful. It didn't work. You can't keep doing this week after week after week. Sorry.
All right, but we can keep doing this week after week after week. This is PFD. You're not supposed to just
I was cut say, that
the music,
music really
off.
Went out quick.
Very
there.
Choppy. Cole.
Mini
you
Gary's
can tell Gary is not here.
Mini Gary's in the booth. You don't just cut it off like that. Because we can't hear you. He just said his mic is broken.
No, we can't hear
I was going to say, I heard him.
Well, our
the fans cannot
the listeners
hear him.
Can't hear him. Anyway, this is PFW in Progress. We're all here except for Tom. Tom's still out.
And Eric.
Eric is still out. Now,
but Soosh is back.
Soosh is back. But let me just tell you something about Eric. I knew what Eric was up to. when he submitted that vacation form and it said he was going to be back in the midweek, I knew there was no way he was coming back. And
you
sure
want to
enough,
eat my salad?
Sure enough, he said he caught some Egyptian fever, and he's not going to be able to come in this week. So,
Not surprising.
Not
tomorrow's
surprising.
A half day. He's back from vacation, a day and a half.
Tomorrow's a half day.
You were lying, yes, your ass off.
Why is tomorrow a half day?
Because it's Memorial holiday
day
weekend.
I wasn't informed of this.
Well, you should really check out the news.
Read memos that come out from HR and
I
the list of.
I mean, we have. Perfect example of why Belichick didn't know after 06 when Ray Anderson.
Whoa! You're comparing yourself to
first
Belichick.
Of all, I don't read the memos.
First of all,
we talked about this off the air, and we will not be talking about this at all today.
This is a Camera-gate free zone.
I promise not to argue with Fred for the whole show.
We may actually make it a football
if we don't
free
have to
zone.
Talk about that.
We were thinking a little American Idol talk followed by greatest action hero ever,
and. Greatest action hero. You can't be a superhero.
Not a superhero.
Can't be
Indiana
a superhero.
Jones.
Regular actor. You don't have any superpowers of any kind.
I like Sushila. James Bond is up there.
Oh, yeah.
James Bond is up there. You know?
I'm not a huge Bond fan, but he would have to be in that conversation. He'd have to be a top three minimum.
Yeah. All right.
James Bond is a good
John McClane, I think, goes
John
in
John McClane.
Yep. Die
Bruce
Hard.
Willis, Die Hard.
You know who's also good is he had a couple movies. I forget. It was like The Interceptor or the...
The Interceptor.
Oh, the bald guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've only seen commercials.
What was that called? I forget, but he was good.
You're right. It's something like that.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, I wouldn't say that was mainstream. That was a little below the surface.
Yeah.
Were those even in the theaters or were those DVDs?
No, they were in the theater. Yep.
I don't even know what we're talking about.
It's you've seen the guy... He's pretty cool. Like, the stuff he does is pretty cool.
He's very good.
But he's not what I would call mainstream.
I like the new Bond. I think he might be better than Sean Connery over time.
I thought it was a little slow, the movie.
Oh, yeah, but I thought it was excellent.
They played a poker game that lasted for 17 years.
But it was
years.
A lot of, you know.
They get into fights, the guys are a bloody pulp, and then 5 minutes later they're back at the poker table and you can't even tell they fought.
It was high pressure, you know.
And the girl wasn't hot.
Well.
Who was the girl?
Not hot. I tell you who she was, but she's not famous and not hot. And the reason she's not famous is because she's not hot.
Oh, I'm guessing that she had clothes on if Andy didn't think she was hot. Because
he tried to whore it up and wasn't
usually gravitates
hot.
Toward the skank bags that don't wear any clothes.
But you see,
sorry, I think Halle Berry's hot.
See, my dad always used to say.
She is hot.
Thank you. She was a Bond girl.
My dad always used to say there's girls that you sleep with and girls you marry.
And this one was neither.
No, no. He ended up marrying her, right? Or wanted to. He proposed to her. That came out.
Without ruining the movie, she didn't make it to the end.
Well.
I don't even know what movie we're talking about.
I didn't say that.
Casino Royale.
No.
Every night on one of those channels.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought it was a new movie that I didn't know anything about, but that's not new.
It was really good.
You haven't seen any of it?
I have never seen any Bond movie.
You should watch the beginning of Casino Royale.
Why haven't you seen a Bond movie?
It just happens
that
way.
Is this a rule? No interest.
It's not a rule.
He has no interest.
Fred,
come on.
Let's direct this.
You have to accidentally stump. There's like 20
of them. Let's direct this more toward Andy, though. He was really, really ripping. He was really ripping Indiana Jones, Fred.
And what?
I know that speaks near and dear to your heart.
I could see you ripping Temple of Doom, but Raiders of the Lost Ark was
I've seen all
phenomenal.
Of them. They were fine.
Fantastic
movie. But I'm not excited. Ooh, there's a new movie. Let's go see it.
Well, the only thing is about this Jones, and I'll see it, but from
110 years old.
From the trailers, it looks exactly like some of the others.
Yeah, I agree.
It looks exactly like it. The last one, I think.
Yeah, and the first one. I mean,
they're very similar. But
it's got Shia LaBeouf, though. He's new.
Who?
Yeah.
Shia LaBeouf.
Who the hell's that?
Dorky-looking kid.
Yeah, he was in, what movie was he in with that stripper's girl there that he keeps sending us? Megan Fox.
Transformers.
Oh, okay.
Megan Fox, another one of those skank bags that Andy probably finds hot.
I don't know who she is.
Okay. Well, anyway.
But speaking of Mary, you didn't watch Idol last night, did you?
I haven't watched it once this year.
Carrie Underwood.
You didn't? Oh, my goodness. I can't believe I forgot to talk about that with you.
What?
That was a great dress.
Well, I'm guessing it was shorts, right?
I'm not so sure about
Otherwise, you saw her stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
what?
No, yeah. She had something there. Yeah.
I mean, it was, what do they call them?
I have to be contradictory of myself. Now she was wearing virtually nothing, and I was very much a fan.
But
of
I think she is like
she's
beautiful,
very pretty,
elegantly.
But that's what I'm talking
stately,
about.
Stately, beautiful.
That was my difference when I, you know, you obviously disagreed when I was talking about Alicia Keys. But that's what I was talking about. She was dressed. I mean, she was obviously whored up last night. You know, she, with a really really short skirt and all that, and she looked fantastic.
Legs.
She looked absolutely fantastic, but. She could have just as easily had a sweatshirt and jeans on, and I would think that she's beautiful.
Yes, because she's beautiful.
What I was trying to say about the difference between a woman like Alicia Keys
and if she was attractive, I'd agree.
Yeah, well, but that's my point is, you know, these other Hollywood bimbos, they need to have it all off for you to think they're hot, and they are hot.
Right.
I'm not disagreeing with
strippers
that tomorrow.
I was talking upstairs about Carrie Underwood saying she's not hot in the big boob skank hot kind of
she
way.
She came on last night.
If that's your wife, you're the luckiest man on the
planet.
She
came on last night. She was on for about 30 seconds. I was completely transfixed. And Beth goes, wow, that's some dress. And I go, it's working for me. And I turned around and I said, how come you didn't make me watch this stupid show when she was on it? And she's like, how come you didn't watch it when she was on it? I don't know. How many seasons ago was she there?
But they get
three,
better
three.
Over time. They have, oh. You know.
Yeah, there's no question she now has a good stylist.
She wasn't,
hair
she wasn't
and makeup.
That good probably when she was on it,
but this
she
is,
looked very, very good last
this
night.
This is PFW in progress, and we're going to talk a little Patriots at some point.
We are?
I don't know.
Damn it.
Okay.
How long are we going here?
What's going on since the passing camp that we attended? Anything?
Wes Welker has been in all the clips.
Yeah, now where did he come from?
Oklahoma?
No, I know, but I thought he wasn't at practice.
He wasn't.
He wasn't.
And he didn't want to discuss that when Karen, who's a reporter, asked him about it.
So where did everyone get it? Where was he available?
I don't know.
Well, I know that Mike Reese called him, I think, yesterday because there was an item, maybe 2 days ago.
Yeah,
there was an item
that.
In his blog about the labor strife where Mike was talking about Mike Vrabel and his role as the player rep. And he called Wes Welker to get a comment about that. I don't know if it had anything to do with coincidentally that he wasn't at passing camp or what the reasoning was, and I didn't see anything that Karen wrote, so I don't know.
But how did that. I mean, was there availability here that we didn't know about?
Well, one of them, the
no.
way they were written,
no.
Wes Welker was a face-to-face interview with Reese because it said
he called him on the phone. I thought it said telephone.
Oh, the one the article I read in today's Globe, it said, you know, in a break from a workout at Gillette Stadium or something like that.
Oh.
But Karen talked to him on the phone, and it was about he's winning, Pop Warner?
Right, he's getting a Pop Warner
inspirational.
Is he going to Florida?
Yeah, Orlando.
Oh, I got to call my father. My father just left today.
Oh, okay.
I'll ask him why he wasn't. I'll tell my father, ask
something.
Him why he's not at passing camp.
Okay.
Nah, I won't do that, but I will.
Was,
my father just left today.
That was sort of the talking point of that story, whereas the Globes was about how he and he's grew up playing soccer, and he told Moss about it, and now Moss is doing some of the soccer drills for quick footwork and different things. And
see,
soccer can be useful if it helps you play a real sport.
Yeah. See, some of the real writers, Fred, that have access to this team, they can get like phone numbers and things and actually talk to the players when they're not here.
We're not allowed to.
No.
But what we are allowed to do is become more informed, right? And we're going to do that today?
Right. Well, 2:30 today, we're sitting down.
I don't know if we're
with,
allowed to talk about it. That's why I kind of laid it out there for Fred.
We won't give out any names, but we're talking with someone in the organization who knows the CBA inside and out. And you got your questions ready?
Yep.
We should talk about with the NFL's decision, the owner's decision to opt out of the CBA early,
right?
Which was their right, and not unexpected at all. The Players Association thought it was going to happen, and the owners obviously voted unanimously, 32-0, to do so. We thought that it would be. Andy came up with the idea to maybe try to talk to people about it and figure out if, some of the – all the different ramifications that would come into play in 2010 in an uncapped year and some of the changes to the CBA that will be forthcoming.
Should we open it up and have people during the 2 hours email
boring.
Any CBA-specific questions and lockout potential questions they might have that we can
that's a good idea,
offer up to our expert?
Because we will have the opportunity, so we might as well make the most of it. If you have a CBA-specific question, what the ramifications are of the owners opting out in 2010, what is uncapped? Year mean? What does it really mean? What are the – because there are restrictions. Everyone's going to go willy-nilly.
Well, it's one of those things that I actually think that the owners really put one over on the players.
Well, I do because now it's like 6 years to free agency and there's all kinds of
things. I think the owners sat there and said, you know what? We're going to throw the term uncapped year out there and the players are going to get all visions of dollar signs dancing in their heads and we're going to slip it by them that – instead of 4 years, it's going to have to be 6 years before you're a free agent. We're going to be able to add another tag to the franchise and transition tag.
Because you look at the amount of people that, are between 4 and 6 years in the league, it's probably the bulk of players. So that means this restriction now has taken out the bulk of players
huge.
From free agency.
It's huge.
Understanding that there would be no math.
The only thing on the players' end, and I saw where Upshaw said specifically that's why it exists, the uncapped year, both. At the end of any CBA, even if it had played out, the last year of a CBA is uncapped.
Yeah. Yes.
Is just the fact, how they always say status quo, whatever status quo is, that's the easiest to keep. And that's what the players wanted. If they somehow get locked into something, at least moving forward for perpetuity, the status quo is no cap.
Right.
That was the
and that's what you would eventually gain like 5 years down the line.
That's what the players is. That's the logic is the players say if they ever get to the point where there's no cap, they'll never relent and put it back in. But I actually think it doesn't. I think that again, I think the players would suffer more than they think they would in an uncapped.
I think we're going to waste our time over the next year.
I mean, I don't know.
Well, that's the other thing. The other thing is
we've reached an extension to 2017.
This thing is 2+ years away and. No one really thinks it's going to be an issue whatsoever.
Because they even agree on one of the major issues. No one wants the huge contracts for rookies. No player except the person who's actually signing the contract.
Right. Well, it'd be interesting if someone ever did the math on what it would really cost owners if they said, okay, we're going to put maximums on rookie contracts and you don't get the free agency until 6 years. If they could then say, okay, no cap. How much they would really end up losing. Because now you don't have to worry about paying anyone big bucks until 6 years in the league.
You would be more along the lines of baseball, where you have up to 6 years is arbitration.
Yep.
And although you have the guys under control, you'd be more like a baseball system.
Right.
No cap, but limited.
I think so there may be a way to do it with
I think
technically
that would be tough,
no
though.
Cap. But
I think that would be tough.
There would
be
a cap.
But then you get into the whole small market, big market.
Right. Yeah, that's why I don't think an uncapped climate would be as profitable for the players as they think it would be.
That's right.
Because
there's a few teams.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of teams that probably wouldn't spend as much as they are now.
Right.
Yeah.
With the cap.
I mean, could you see the Bills or the Jacksonville Jaguars breaking? They just wouldn't be able to compete.
Or the Bengals, the Cardinals.
And they still get their paycheck.
Yeah.
So they could have a team salary of $10 million with all these undrafted rookies, and they're still collecting their chunk of the $17 billion of TV money.
That's right. So I just don't think in the NFL, those models can work.
I don't know.
Because we, at the end of the day, if you're a fan, even if you're a player or an owner, you want a competitive league. It just makes it a better league.
More profitable. But I think that one of the misnomers is, and we always talk about baseball, and Fred, you and I always get into it on this, but I think that what hurts, the reason the cap is good is because, not because it limits what the Yankees would be able to spend, but it would force the Marlins to spend a minimum amount.
Yeah.
That's where you get the competitive balance. I don't think it really affects teams like the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Angels, the Dodgers, the teams that actually have money.
Right.
But it's the Pirates and the Brewers and the Marlins and teams like that refuse to spend even anywhere enough to be competitive.
Yep.
Now the salary cap with that also comes a salary, you know, basement that you have to get up to.
And of course, revenue sharing helps too.
They have that. Yeah. Baseball does have that, but.
But not to the extent that football does.
Well, they don't make as much in their national TV contract as football.
Exactly. There's just not enough to spread around.
But they have the luxury tax and revenue sharing in baseball, they do. So
Red Sox spend more than the limit.
But they have to they have to pay more to those other teams
as a
result.
That's right.
And now the talk about raising revenues with a 17th game, shortening the preseason a game, all that.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
I don't love it.
You know?
I do.
You want three preseason games?
Anything to get rid of the preseason game.
Yeah.
Now, if you have 17 games, where's the extra game go?
That's the whole thing that they were talking about, playing one in a neutral
site. So it's definitely
away. Okay. You know, like Canada or London.
L.A.
Worcester.
We'll bite the bullet. We'll play in Worcester.
I think for the New England Patriots, that would technically be a home game.
I don't know. You got to have practice games somehow. You got to get them out there, and you got to have practice games. And in football, you know, it's not as easy as baseball, because there's a lot of stuff involved in a real football game.
But you can scrimmage.
You can scrimmage, but
I bet you, if I asked Bill Belichick, there's a chance he'd rather scrimmage.
Yeah, but
where he and a coach can get together, script their plays, and put exactly what they want versus what they want to see it against.
I know, but coaches will probably tell you that it's not a real game unless it's a real game, unless, you know, the coach to quarterback is working, unless, you know.
No, but that's my point. You can treat it, you know, the practices we have in the stadium, you bring in the New York Giants once, and you go to the Giants once, but you script it, and it's not necessarily it's a whole scripted scrimmage where you get the work done that you need to see get done.
With fans watching or no?
I don't know. However you want to figure that out.
You know, see, that's the thing. It costs a lot to put on a football game, and if they figure.
So no fans then?
That's the thing. If there's no fans.
But that's the crux of the matter, Fred, is what you're talking about. It's the money.
Yeah.
And no one wants to lose that money.
It's the money.
Because you don't have to play the game. I mean, let's face it. College football, I understand, is not played at the level it is in the NFL, but they're not trying any less hard. It's not any less hard to get prepared for a season. They don't play preseason games.
Right.
They just play their first game.
Then you could argue that they play
a cupcake. Yeah. I understand that. But,
and that's their preseason.
But not everybody does it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But most of the big time.
But there are huge games every year. I mean, like Florida State and Miami opened the season, I think, 2 years ago. I mean, it can be done, is my point. And even though understanding that the level of sophistication is not where it is in the NFL, I understand that. It's night and day. But it's still, you're getting ready to play a high level of football, and you're doing it without playing four preseason games.
And
I think you could probably do it in the pros and not
and
really
the difference
suffer.
In sophistication is made up in the off-season camps and all the classroom work and all the study. You know what I mean?
That's how I feel about it. But I'm,
then there's the issue, okay, we're playing an extra real game. I'm a player. Back. I want to be paid more. Whereas Upshaw's saying there's no way they're not going to.
That's the part I don't really understand about the in terms of the players and their whole thing. Don't you get a salary? I mean, I understand that in the preseason games, you don't make the same as you make during the regular season. But doesn't it all come out in the wash as a yearly salary?
Well, they could make the argument, well, right now you're basing my salary on 16 regular season games, and now you're asking me to play a 17th.
I think that's a little bit of a stretch for the players. This one I'm on the owner's side. Normally I'm pro-player with some of these things, but this one I think I'm on the owner's side.
And I think I am too, because, you know, the players could make it, well, you're making more revenue now because of this 17th game. You say, no, the whole thing with the preseason games is we made the same revenue. We forced people to pay the extra money. The only thing that would change, though, and this would benefit the players, okay, so now if there's a 17th game, the TV contract might go up. So now you're making more money. Now more money gets shared. Okay, now my 60% of revenues is a bigger slice of the pie.
Right.
So it would help the players, you know, that way.
Have you talked to the powers that be at all about any of these issues?
No. They're just so busy right now, I can't. They don't even know who I am.
And part of the reason I asked, too, Fred, is because I know that we were a big part of it initially. You know, this current CBA that they extended, you know, we were a big part of that, and I'm wondering if maybe we've rethought any of the stuff that, or we're just listening to so many of the owners that are complaining about what's going on and how we feel about it. I'm just wondering if our stance has changed at all.
Well, we'll talk about that when we get back from this break, but we do need to get back to a break because it's 12:23. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. This is Butch Stearns from Fox 25. What is Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary word of the day? Stick around. We'll tell you about it.
4-0 New England. What an opening night for the Revs in front of their home fans.
The New England Revolution are back, and 2008 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss exciting matches against conference rivals DC United and the New York Red Bulls, Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, and the Revolution's first ever appearance in Superliga, featuring the best teams from Major League Soccer and Mexico. Revolution season tickets also guarantee your ticket for David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. This event sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order season tickets today. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Kronhorst, are you kidding me?
Revolution. He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots extra points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at Patriots extra points.com.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Taylor on the turn, takes a touch, and buries it! 1-0 Revs! The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet. The Revs have the lead. Taylor Twellman just made 30,000 plus here at Gillette Stadium. Very happy.
2008 New England Revolution gear is here at the Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Located right next to Gillette Stadium, the Revolution Pro Shop has all of the official Revolution merchandise you'll ever need. Get the new 2008 home and away jerseys with name and number of your favorite player, or have one customized with your own name and number. Jackets, sweatshirts, hats, tees, and much more. With a huge selection of Revolution
Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants. The Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open 7 days a week and always available online at www.revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop. And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
We don't have any catchy jingles. We should probably get some jingles for the show. You know, Patriots, PFW in progress.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
I don't even remember saying that ever. Anyway.
I do, because it was as far from catchy as you could get.
You know what I mean. You know how they do it in radio?
God, don't open up to jingles. No? We'll get emails for a month.
But if it's a good jingle, people remember it, and then they remember your show. It's real radio. We're trying to be real radio, right?
Does Howard Stern have a jingle?
Well, they do, kind of, but it's like heavy metal.
Yeah, and they have a lot of raunchy ones, too.
Yeah.
I can't think of any radio I listen to that has jingles.
I guess it used to be a lot more than it is today, because now you don't listen to radio for music anymore. You listen to it for talk, and talk, you know, I guess you don't really need a jingle, right?
But, like, does Kiss 108 or...
PFW in progress.
Well, right. Like, they have the little... like on 108, they go into the news and they have the, what is it, like a horn? Bam, 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 bam. You know?
Can't hear you.
Aren't those jingles? Aren't those jingles?
I guess so.
Sounders.
Sounders.
Sounders, says Gary. Okay.
He learned that in broadcasting school. And shotguns.
Shotguns, shot stinger.
Is that like when you hit the post?
Sot.
Sot stinger. Got to thank Jeff Connors from the Patriots Marketing Department, who just delivered a feast for us. It was in gratitude for the writers of PFW doing a luncheon with the premium seat members, where these guys sat up and actually acted like they knew what they were talking about. So
we don't have to act. Yeah. We know what we're talking about.
Okay.
We don't say... Dave Thomas making it look easy when Dave Thomas hasn't been here.
Okay, so I say that, of course, he's got to blog that. You know, he's got to call me out, throw me under the bus.
And then you assaulted me when you read it.
What, I flicked your neck? What's the big deal?
That's assault, brother.
I got to be honest with you, Fred. If it was me blogging, I had to blog that.
You look like Dave Thomas. What can I tell you?
What does that mean?
You look like
he's a white tight end, and one of the numbers on his jersey was a 6?
You look like him.
Was he an unathletic guy limping around or something? I mean,
Dave Thomas is a good pass-catching tight end.
See, I think that was disrespectful to Dave Thomas, to be honest with you. Some rookie free agent.
Guy made a good
catch. All
he
could do to walk and chew gum at the same time.
Guy made a good catch. Anyway,
one could argue it's disrespectful to the guy on the field. He's on the field. Jeff Thomas never is.
Jeff bought food from, what was it, Aramos?
Aromas.
Aromas?
Aramos.
some pizza, wings, chicken strips.
Foxborough Center?
Cheesy fries and also TT Buds popcorn, which is not from Aromas, but it's
Jeff's Friends
company. TT Buds popcorn, supposedly the best popcorn out there.
Made in Burlington, Mass.
There you go.
25 B Street.
So, you know, and if you have a company out there that has food and you want to get mentioned on PFW in progress, all you have to do is send it to us. And if it's good, we'll mention it.
And if it's really good, we'll mention it twice. We'll even mention the next show, like Conley's, who did our Tuesday catering.
Conley's was
phenomenal.
Great.
And I like the fit of their T-shirts.
Oh, you
they hug my now more slim frame very nicely.
Well, you're
Gary. What'd you think?
Almost as what?
The 2X might not be 2X enough for you.
Uh oh.
Oh, you had a 2X.
And no, he had a 2X, but based on the way the X fit
me. What size is yours?
X.
Oh, all right. So you guys stuck me with the little one then.
Yeah,
I see.
I didn't get a T-shirt.
I'm sorry.
Just so you know, the one I got wouldn't have fit you either, Fred.
I don't want a T-shirt.
Beth already has it in the wash, getting ready to throw it in the rotation.
I don't want this. Gary just threw a T-shirt at me. It's nice.
But they have a nice cut, and it's a good quality tee. The ones we order for PFW in progress, are they going to be decent quality?
Oh, yeah. I insist on 100% cotton, good quality.
Okay, good.
I hate those 50-50s ones. Those, I can't wear
those ones you get like in Mexico where they're like 10 for a buck and you wash them once and you don't have a T-shirt anymore, that real thin, crappy material. We don't want those. We want good stuff.
Yeah, I got to have a good T-shirt, you know.
How come you don't tuck your shirts in anymore?
What? Well, what happened was it's a long story, but I had to change for lacrosse because I had to coach the team the other day. So I brought my jeans in, and I put my pants with the belt in the back seat of my car. So I haven't taken the pants out of the back seat of my car with the belt. So I haven't had a belt in the last couple of days. So I've just been...
I just noticed all of a sudden every day you're untucked.
Two days, idiot. 2 days.
Why don't you flick him again? Hit him again, Fred. Hit him.
Assault me again on the radio this time. I'll have proof.
2 days.
I think
richest man in the world has one belt.
I think Conley's in Watertown, though. I think he's making a bid.
Still.
You think they're making a bid to be the permanent sponsor of PFW in progress? Conley's in Watertown.
I think we're making a bid for them to be the permanent sponsor.
I don't know if they could afford that.
Funny, I look in that cooler over there. Do I still say, I don't see that six-pack.
Oh!
Funny how that didn't make it through the day.
Giddy up, G.
Interesting.
What happened to that six-pack of Bud Light?
It's in the building, but it's no longer in the bottles.
We're going to be served it at his wedding. It'll be.
I don't think so.
No?
Well, this
they won't be serving Bud Light at that fancy
this
affair.
This is a very high. This is a catered fare, Fred. This is a very, very high class.
The vegetables
affair.
Are called something convert. Everything is in French.
Okay.
No Bud Light.
Are you guys wearing a tux? Is this a tux, by the Gary?
It's not black tie, is it?
I don't own a tux.
Is your wedding black tie? I don't have a tux.
It's not black tie? Okay, good.
I might unveil my pinstripe suit, though.
Oh. Is it a Regan?
No.
No? Okay. Anyway, before the break, we were talking a little bit about the CBA thing and the ramifications of, the NFL and different things that the owners were talking about preseason, trying to make preseason more, I don't know, appealing? I don't think there's any way you can do that.
They keep talking about that, and those are the words they use. And I
don't understand
the phrasing.
I don't
see how you can get it.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they're going down the Vince McMahon, I got to make the game more appealing by adding new wrinkles. Or,
right.
Like, is that what they're going to do, make a circus of the preseason?
Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean.
Nude girls running around?
By decreasing it by one game isn't making it more appealing. It's admitting that it's not appealing, and we need to get rid of it. So I don't know. How do you make a preseason game? Because you can't affect what's on the field. Coaches have to have complete authority about who they play, when they play them, what they're going to do. So you can't change what's on the field.
And I can't blame the coaches for the way they go about their jobs, too. You know, like, can you imagine if they said, new rule, the fourth preseason game, you have to have at least two starters play or something.
Yeah, that's garbage.
You can't do that. No. You can't legislate in anything like that.
No. So I don't know.
That would be funny if they tried to do stuff like that.
Watch Bill
react to the rule. You know,
your
starting quarterback must play 30% of the snaps every preseason game. All of a sudden, Matt Cassel's listed as the starter.
How about
Brady's been demoted.
Everyone who attends a fourth preseason game automatically gets entered into a raffle for $5 million. How do you like that? No?
I mean, I don't know.
I think that's wonderful, but
where's the $5 million coming from?
From the league. I mean,
so we're trying to make the games more appealing by giving away $5 million?
Well, that's
just one $5 million, yeah. Not every game.
No, just
so
one
lump sum from all the league.
Right,
games.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
I thought you were giving away $65 million.
That's what the minor league baseball teams do. They have giveaways.
Not $5 million.
Well, right. That's make it worth
it. They give away like a hot dog.
And you're also minor league baseball is a small town kind of folksy production.
Why is the NFL now doing things that minor league baseball is doing?
Well,
shave your head night here at Gillette Stadium.
Minor league baseball is for towns that don't have big league sports. Basically.
I know, but basically minor league baseball, some people, I guess, really follow it. You know?
A lot of people do.
But really, it's just a night out.
It's a slice of Americana.
It's a night out for the family or whatever.
And there's an ownership. You know, like the town, I mean, the people that are local, that's their team.
That's
right.
My point. That's
You're not there really rooting for the team. You're just out to have some entertainment. So I guess that's the way you need to approach these preseason games. The games, the end result means nothing.
Shoot T-shirts into the crowd.
You know, so you're really there.
Got to have one of those.
PFW T-shirts.
So you're really there just for the entertainment.
Gary,
so,
what do those guns cost?
So I guess you need to provide more entertainment somehow.
The director of in-game entertainment doesn't know what a T-shirt shooting gun costs?
Ooh. Oh, come on.
Good thing that wasn't on the
you
air.
Must, your budget is, if it's a good idea, we'll do it. That's your budget. So
what could one of those guns cost? $500?
They had them at the Cannons game, the lacrosse. So, you know, it can't be that expensive.
I don't know. Gary doesn't look happy back there, though.
Uh-oh.
And he wants you to go to Tom in Rhode Island.
Tom in Rhode Island's on the phone. Hey, Tom.
Hey, how's it going?
Tom Casale?
Yeah.
What's up?
What are you doing? Did I happen to get one of those T-shirts?
I don't think
so.
God damn you.
And why are you in Rhode Island?
I'm not. I don't know what that means. I'm down the road.
Tom in Foxborough, actually.
So, Tom, how you doing? You sound like you're under prescription drugs.
I am.
Okay. Congratulations.
Thank you. I was listening for the first 40 minutes, and I figured, well, I might as well call in to see how passing camp went, since you guys aren't going to talk about it, apparently.
We spent 2 hours talking about it on Tuesday.
I missed that show. Ventrone's a receiver?
He is, until he gets cut.
You keep trying to cut him. He's not going anywhere.
As one resident soon-to-be Hall of Famer in the building said, keep trying to make up positions for that MF-er.
Tom, I don't know about this.
Does that give away his identity?
That was fairly veiled.
Tom, I don't know about this procedure that you had, but you sound a lot like Craig from South Carolina for some reason.
Well, I'm all swollen right now. I mean,
oh, okay.
My nose inside is all swollen. They cut it open.
How was the whole procedure, Tom? Was it as bad as they say?
It's not too bad. Not too bad.
Are you snoring?
I don't know. We'll see. It's hard to tell right now because I'm still swollen in there. I won't know for like a week after the swelling goes down.
Okay. Because I saw on TV they just came out with this new thing you put in your mouth and it's supposed to cure snoring or your money back in 30 days. So maybe you got this for nothing. I don't know.
All right. Well,
I doubt that works.
Yeah, they've been trying to cure snoring for years.
Did you get my email?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I thought it was good.
Did you like the cliffhanger, though?
Yeah. Oh. I don't mind a good cliffhanger.
You guys need a minute for a private conversation off the air.
Criminal Minds, the finale of Criminal Minds last night.
You don't
watch any shows that require any kind of thought whatsoever, so I know you don't see it.
You guys haven't talked about the big news. That little pipsqueak David Archuleta lost on American Idol.
Yeah, we talked a little bit
about the highlight of my night. Tremendous.
Carrie Underwood was the highlight of my night.
No, I'd rather see that, as Tom said, pipsqueak go down. He's fraudulent, annoying.
12 million votes. It wasn't even close.
Nope.
Yeah.
America spoke.
I was fairly surprised, though. Weren't you?
I was shocked. I thought he was going to win for sure. I was stunned.
I'm glad he
won. So who won? Carrie Underwood?
You're an idiot.
David Cook. So now, Fred, if they're just a white tight end, we refer to him as Dave Thomas?
That's right.
Is that how we're going now?
That's what we're doing. As long as he can catch the ball, he's
making
Dave
it
Thomas.
Look easy.
How'd the guys look? I keep hearing Chad Jackson.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm hearing. I just he didn't jump off the field like he seemed to for everyone else in my mind. I mean, he wasn't as good as Randy Moss, but he was better than the other stiffs like Ray Ventrone that were playing receiver. He fell in line where he should.
I doubt that. But do you think he's going to start?
Yes, I think he will start opening day.
Well, that's quite a big jump then. I mean, he went from, you know, a nobody to starting.
Well, I think it's a combination, obviously, of Stallworth's gone. He's finally healthy, which he talked about. You know, it's sort of a bunch of factors coming together at the right time. They have a need. They have a guy that they drafted.
And they're going to give him a chance to win the job.
And make a lot of plays, according to him.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. I mean, for nothing else, preseason will be interesting to see how guys like Chad Jackson do. You know, with this opportunity, because that's what they're going to, you know, figure this thing out.
And he'll be an interesting starter because he'll probably, like, start preseason games and then keep playing with the second group because he needs more reps than, you know, Randy Moss and Wes Welker do.
Right.
Well, so let me ask you a question. When I go to a preseason game this year, am I actually going to see Ray Ventrone catching passes? I mean,
you'll see them thrown in his direction. I'm not sure he'll catch them
based on
what
I saw
work.
In practice the other day. I would say you might see him line up at receiver. That's all I'm going to guarantee.
You know what that's like? That's like when a TV show's been on for 12 years and they're trying this new thing, and you just say, "Oh, that's it. It's time for it to go."
Yep.
Not even I believe Ray Ventrone could play receiver. I mean, that's just a joke.
Well, when they were going through the stretching, Tom, we noticed that he had a white jersey on, and Andy and I were like, well, maybe fullback, we were figuring. And Fred goes, what about receiver? And we kind of laughed at him because I don't think there could be a guy less suited to be a receiver than he is. But there he was in the receiver drills with all the rest of them, and you know, he even did some 7-on-7 work. you know, once in a while getting in some of those reps. So I don't know what the thought process is there, but I don't see it.
Well, it's obvious that Bill's lost it. So. Well, I have to say, listening to the show, it actually sounds better when you listen to it than when you're there live. It's actually not too bad.
Is that a compliment?
That's because you're not, you know, distracted by all the stuff we're doing off. Right.
Even like the tangents are, they're more, they seem almost like planned. Like they're, even though we don't really know what we're doing or, and we kind of just go into them, they fit in well. I'm surprised.
That's the nature of my genius, Tom.
Yeah,
Tom. Plus, you're on drugs. Yeah, lay off. I'm gonna just tell you this one time, son. Lay off the drugs.
Lay off the Vicodin. Tom, before we let you go, we got to introduce you to. We found a replacement for Eric. He will not be coming back, thankfully. And we have a young man by the name of Sushil Trivedi. Say hello.
Hello, Tom.
Hello.
I wasn't listening.
We call him Sush. He's already contributed more in a day and a half to this show than Eric ever has.
Hey, did you hear about Eric calling in sick today?
What's going on? Eric's not coming back?
Nope.
Shut up.
No,
he'll come back.
No, he caught the Egyptian flu.
Today he was supposed to be in today, though, and he called in sick.
Didn't make it. Well, Sush, I can't wait to meet you. You sound like a hell of a guy.
just so you know, you'll never meet him. He's only here for a week.
He'll be here next week.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, next week.
Fred is mentoring him.
Well, I don't know if it's mentoring. He's doing a senior project for Moses Brown.
Fred was telling him how to
surf
the net for
porn.
By the
way, does Moses Brown have food? Because I just mentioned them. They have to send us food now.
It's not very good.
No?
They went healthy. Wheat and
Wheat
burgers.
Is that why you're in good shape?
All right, see you, Tom. We don't need you anymore.
All right, take care, guys.
All right.
We'll see you next week.
That's Tom Casale from his bed.
Sounds tired.
Yeah. He sounds like a cross between Craig from South Carolina and Eric the Midget from Howard Stern.
Eric the Midget.
So. All right. Well, Tom's.
You know what? I don't know how I never made that connection before. I think Craig from South Carolina is Eric the Midget.
He's our Eric the Midget.
No, I think he is Eric the Midget.
Oh, you think so?
Maybe. He sounds just like him.
Well, Eric the Midget.
I can't believe it.
Eric the Midget's in a wheelchair. I know. No. Where is Chris?
He's from North Carolina now.
I know, but he's working. He just listens to us on the podcast, I guess.
I don't think so. You know, that brings us full circle, Fred, because Eric the Midget is constantly talking about American Idol and his infatuation with Kelly Clarkson.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, this is when she was first out.
No, I think she's a fine singer, but is it singing related or looks related?
Well,
both.
Because she's
both.
Well, and also
not attractive.
He liked that Catherine McPhee, too.
Who's more attractive than Kelly Clarkson.
Catherine McPhee's pretty attractive.
Yeah. Kelly Clarkson, first of all, has blown up like a blimp, hasn't
she? Well, but that's what I'm saying. This was a long time ago before she ate the Empire State Building.
Are you pointing at my belly? Oh, Kelly Pickler. She was on the other night, and her breasts look phenomenal. Not as good as they did in person in Phoenix when Paul and I were up close and personal.
Yeah. With me and Andy being creeps behind Kelly Pickler at the Super Bowl.
She's hot. She used to be on American Idol.
How do you not know who Kelly
Pickler? I don't watch that show.
All right, now this is getting really weird. Strippers just emailed us, and he's telling us that he owns ericthemidget.com.
He owns everything. Every time you mention
him. What was the other one that we're supposed to talk about?
Juice Williams.
Juice Williams?
Oh, that's two. We mentioned two of your websites. You owe us two lunches.
I thought there was another one that we're supposed to plug for him.
Not until he sends lunch.
Oh, my bad.
When he sends lunch, he'll earn that plug.
All right. While we were talking, I thought of a way that they could make the preseason games more enjoyable.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this one.
Legalize gambling just for those games.
Gary was laughing so hard he couldn't answer the phone for whoever just called.
Think of all the prop bets you could have during the game. You could have a big board up on at the stadium. No? No?
What are the prop bets? Ray Ventrone, plus or minus two catches.
Exactly. And, you know, because all weird things happen. You never know who's playing, so you can have all kinds of propositions.
Why don't we just leave it the same way it is?
It's like the people, the really degenerate.
But it's stunk for 30 years, and it's been fine. They still had a Super Bowl at the end of the year. That was great.
But the owners insist on charging top dollar for an inferior product. They got to figure something out.
Yeah, but I told you how to fix that.
But they
drop it to $8
and really
charge the rest of the games.
You know, as much as I don't like it, they really don't have to fix it until there's some sign that people refuse to do it.
Well, I think they are. I think there's less and less attendance. I mean, yes.
No, but that doesn't matter to the owners.
As long as that, as I said, the season ticket.
It matters to the concession.
Tickets paid, 68. $8,200.
No, I know. But what about the
tickets used? $41,000.
They're not generating as much revenue because the people aren't here. You know?
Well, the only way you're going to force the people to come is ensure that it's Tom Brady to Randy Moss. And you can't do that because it's the preseason.
Right. You just can't.
So there's no way to do it. Then just eliminate them.
On the phone right now is, I hope he has permission from his parents, Forrest, who is 13 years old. Forrest, how you doing?
Hey, good. How are you guys?
What's up? We're doing good.
I was running.
Is Eric there?
No, he's not here.
Did you want to challenge him to a fight?
Eric. You suck, Eric.
He called in sick, unfortunately.
He was afraid of you, I think, Forrest. I think he knew you were going to challenge him to a fight.
One of my friends listened to your guys' show, and he didn't want to call in, and he wanted to tell Tom that, Tom, you're a pompous buffoon.
All right.
I agree.
I would agree with that as well.
Although Tom's not here either.
Now, listen, kid.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't you have school?
I'm hanging up, okay?
All right,
see you. No, you don't have to. Wait, no.
He's probably in the boys' room at his school, right?
Oh, easy.
Where are you?
Well, no, we just got out of school, actually, today.
At 12.
Oh, you're a half day today?
Yeah, they're perverts.
Where are you from, Forrest?
I'm from Tennessee.
Tennessee? All right.
How come you had a half day today?
Well, because it's the last day of school, you know?
That's all I have to say about that.
Did you get out of school in May?
Yeah.
Well, it is Tennessee.
That's true.
Oh, my God.
They realize no matter how long you're in school, you're never going to grow up to be in it.
Okay, you guys stink.
Thanks, right. Forrest. We'll see you.
Forrest. Bye. All right. Don't tell your parents you listen. All right. Anyway.
Certainly don't play a portion of the show for them.
That's Forrest who wants to fight.
Is that why
Eric.
You got me get mad at me for that?
Forrest wants to fight.
So now
Eric.
We have two underage kids that listen? His friend listens.
Well, now you see when we were talking about all the slogans,
a weird
and Fred had the idea. We need to have a disclaimer. We need to, you know, it's not suitable for children under the age of 17.
Due to some sexual content, parental discretion is advised.
We don't say
we need to do that before
that they
every
don't
show.
Hear on the school bus or the playground.
What they hear on the school bus and playground is fine.
We can't contribute to that.
Why?
Because you know?
We're control
adults
that.
And they're not.
We can control what they're hearing here.
They're hearing it from other kids, you know?
I'm not that far from being another kid.
Well, I think we all know the answer.
In the court of law, that wouldn't be a good argument.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I can be taken to court for teaching a kid a bad word?
Sure.
Under what law?
Urban Dictionary, word of the day.
You can get sued for anything these days.
For what?
I don't know.
Well, sued? I'm not responsible for this. This is a production of Gary Gredecky.
Unlawful influence on a minor.
Gary goes back to looking for the Red Queen, washing his hands of the whole process.
It's his responsibility. So I tell two gender when he's back there.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. Let's get to some
emails.
Emails. Victor says, no more Spygate. You got that?
Yep.
We're not doing it. This is a Spygate-free zone. Let's see. Andrew in Ukraine. In the Ukraine writes in.
Is that where Bill's from?
Pin on that?
Gary, is there a pin in the Ukraine?
Yeah, I believe there is.
Andy doesn't want to do it because he doesn't know where the Ukraine is.
I know where it is.
Where?
In the middle of Eurasia.
In the middle of your Asia.
Your Asia.
Not mine.
Just so you know, you could say what you just said for virtually any country and probably not be wrong.
No.
In the middle of Eurasia, that pretty much encompasses the majority of the planet.
That's true. There's a lot of countries in Africa.
Anyway.
South America.
Here comes Gary with the pin.
He's double-checking to ensure there is a pin in Ukraine.
It must have been important. He put the Penske file down.
Where is it, Gary? Point to it.
It's up there in Russia.
Gary can't find it.
He always walks around with
it's
a folder
in Russia.
Well, it used to be part of it.
File. Right.
Not
he
anymore.
Has no idea what it is.
Let's see. It used to be part of the USSR.
Back in the USSR.
Let's see.
Gary couldn't find it to check to see if there was a pin.
Andrew writes in, the clip Gary played from the draft reminded me of a question about Mendenhall. If Maroney doesn't show the ability to stay healthy, produce consistently, and if Mendenhall really is good, do the Patriots go after Parker in the offseason since he's a free agent after 09? As I see it, Pittsburgh just gave themselves a running back controversy next year. Tomlin has brought more emphasis to the passing attack, reducing the number of available carries, and I don't see how Parker was going to settle for 15 carries a game in 09, seeing as how it will be a contract year.
Yeah, I know Parker was leading the league in rushing, I believe, when he got hurt, was neck and neck with Adrian Peterson at the time.
Yeah,
but I just don't
think
he's a
franchise
bat.
But why would the Patriots go after Parker? Aren't they then putting themselves in the same position that the said the Steelers
were? His scenario is that your admission that Lawrence Maroney is not an every down, count on him 16 game back.
See, but that's what I think of Willie Parker.
Me too.
And even though he has
I think the Steelers think the same thing.
He's been productive, and I think he's a good player. I'm not. This is not a trash job on the other team's, you know, players or anything. I think Willie Parker was a good running back. I don't think he's a great running back that deserves to have all of the carries.
Now, and he's undersized, and he's gotten 18 exactly. gazillion carries over the last couple years.
The last 2 years
so
has been
my
really
guess
heavy
is,
workload, and he's broken
down. At some
down.
Point, they're gonna, he's going to turn into Rudy Johnson and... Who's the other guy? You know, these guys that fall off the map and go from 1,500 yards to 2.7 yards a carry in the course of a year.
And I think that Pittsburgh, it's one of those chicken or egg things. Egg. I don't think Pittsburgh wanted to necessarily de-emphasize the running game as much as they did last year and put it all on the passing game. I think they kind of had to because they didn't run it anywhere near as effectively as they have been. And then when Parker got hurt at the end of the year, they didn't have much options. They had to do that. The offensive line has been a little bit different, banged up. Some changing parts there. They lost Faneca. I think Pittsburgh had a little bit of a transition last year from what they want to do. But I think if you ask, you know, that Steeler philosophy, I think, is probably still very much in play. They want to run the ball effectively, have Roethlisberger throw closer to 20, 25 than 35,
right,
and then play good defense. That's what they want to do. That's their formula to win.
Soosh, did you want to weigh in on the ever-present question of chicken or the egg? You mumbled something while Paul was speaking over there.
About the running back breakdown after a year. I said Sean Alexander.
Oh, yeah. Another guy that really fell off the production
quickly.
Map.
Quickly. Now, he had a good career. Sean Alexander rushed for, you know, what, 10,000 yards and over 100 touchdowns. I mean, that's a good career. It wasn't like he was a flash in the pan. But
he fell off quickly.
Yeah, it ended very quickly for him.
My guess is that happens to Parker.
Let's see. Who was this? Jonas, I think? Yes, it is Jonas. He says, if Jason Taylor were to leave the division, isn't that at least one less time a year Matt Light gets kicked around like a soccer ball?
Twice.
Also, which happens first, Wheatley interception or Mayo sack? How about Will Hite interception or Crable sack?
Wheatley interception or Crable sack.
Oh, I think the Crable sack might be before any of those things happen.
That's just why he's in the game.
Right, and I think that that's probably easier to get. Mayo, I don't think Mayo's going to get a ton of sacks, though.
No. Although he is supposedly a pretty good pass rusher.
Oh, no, he definitely was in college. I just don't think he's probably going to get a lot of opportunities.
I guess he'll be better than Bruschi, who just ran into the guy trying to block him.
Oh, no, sometimes he jumped over him.
That's true.
If the season started tomorrow, are the starting inside linebackers Hobson and Mayo? And if so, who's the Mike?
I would think Bruschi.
Bruschi will start,
I guess.
So you think Mayo will probably rotate in there?
I don't know who will be the starters, but I think Bruschi will be one of them. It could be Bruschi and Mayo. It could be Bruschi and Hobson. Depends on.
I agree with the old man in the corner.
Thanks.
Will the outside linebacking position be more consistent with Vrabel and Thomas, seeing as they are more well-rounded
in the same decade,
than Colvin, who was more of a pass rush specialist with holes in his pass coverage and run-stopping, edge-setting skills? So outside, will it be a more balanced outside linebacker pair?
I thought Colvin was actually pretty good. I know he's not as big, but I thought he did a pretty good job against the run and setting the edge.
I thought, you know, in a lot of ways, last year for that stuff was his best year. Now, I don't think he was much of a factor rushing the passer.
He hasn't been since he broke his hip.
But he made some big plays last year in the passing game. Remember against San Diego?
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember.
Another one against the Colts.
Yeah.
I think he was a good all-around outside linebacker. I think he had one of his better years.
Maybe his best year here. Last year, and then he got hurt. I personally didn't think it was going to be that big a deal when he got hurt, but I turned out to be wrong. I think that was a significant injury, and I think the defense was affected by it.
But yes, Vrabel and Thomas, I think, are more talented.
Oh, God, yes.
So,
yes.
In theory, but I went with that theory last year when Colvin went down. I thought Thomas would have this, like, jump in production, and it didn't really happen until the Super Bowl. So maybe he builds off that. If he does that from game one, then, yeah, I think you're going to be better at outside linebacker.
Do you guys think that the plan with Merriweather is to let him develop as an overall defensive back, then, when Harrison retires, see which position, corner or safety, is easier to bring in, then put Merriweather at the other position?
That might be an end result, but I think the idea is to let him develop as a defensive back and use him as he best fits your needs on the team.
Yeah,
I don't think there's a specific plan. Like in 2 years, Harrison will be done, and we'll do this. I think they'll play it as they go. I think they did the same thing with Eugene Wilson. I think there were chances where Eugene Wilson could have ended up back at corner for the Patriots. It just didn't play out that way.
Yeah, I agree with the big-headed kid in the corner.
Last one. Which happens first? Merriweather fully secures his first pick, or Fred admits the Patriots cheated?
Merriweather secures his first pick. Even if he never secures one.
F you, Jonas. let's see. Oh, Iggy from Madrid.
Iggy.
Writes in.
Got to have an Iggy on every show. That's
question
great.
For you. I have read that the owners voted to end the CBA this week, ending the agreement with the NFL Players Association after 2011. Actually, it's after 2010.
Yeah. Now, that's technically they didn't agree to end it now.
Right.
It's they opted out in 2010.
As a foreigner, I'm not familiar with NFL rules or the U.S. legal system, but it is my understanding that if there is not a CBA, teams and players can establish contracts at will. No salary cap, no free agency, indeed no big rookie deals. Is that correct?
I don't think they can play. I don't think you can have a league without a CBA. Right?
But you know what? Right. That's a good question. Because if the CBA is expired... Oh, no. See, that's what would happen. The last year of the CBA is going to be an uncapped year, but there's still a CBA.
Right.
It's just that the rules have changed.
Right.
After that year...
They can't play.
They can't play. They cannot play.
It would be chaos. I mean, Jerry Jones could try to work a deal with T.O. to show up, but it's not the all-encompassing league under one umbrella.
Right. And then
you'd be barnstorming. Right. You'd have just teams playing wherever, it would be separate companies.
The Patriots, the Cowboys, you know, probably some others would be able to get 53-man teams.
Right. It'd be like boxing.
And then, like, you know, Cincinnati would have, like, three guys that would want to play for him. I mean, no one would
want to
go there.
The Patriots and Cowboys would negotiate to play at this certain place, but it wouldn't be
scheduled. Health benefits would be different.
Yeah, it would hit the fan. There'd be no draft.
Right.
That
eliminates the draft. That's one of the things I wanted to talk about, by the way. Some of those Armageddon kind of scenarios.
If it is, this would create a new environment in the NFL. In that new environment of freedom, players will move more and more, presumably looking for more money and a better team. Would this scenario be good for the league?
No, there would be no league.
It would not be good for
the league. It would be chaos.
There needs to be some sort of structure to anything, and the CBA is that structure. It's that the cohesiveness between the players and the owners, and you need to have something in place there.
In any event, I tend to believe that Upshaw, the commissioner, will manage to get a new CBA to avoid all of this, but it is exciting. Not in a gay way, Eric, to imagine this new scenario.
I love the shots at Eric when he's not even here.
Wow. All right. Well, it's 12:59. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
4-0 New England. What an opening night for the Revs in front of their home fans.
The New England Revolution are back, and 2008 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss exciting matches against conference rivals DC United and the New York Red Bulls, Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, and the Revolution's first ever appearance in Superliga, featuring the best teams from Major League Soccer and Mexico. Revolution season tickets also guarantee your ticket for David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. This event sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order season tickets today. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh, my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, are you kidding me?
Revolution. He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots extra points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at Patriots Extra Points.com. When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Miles and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
What an opening night for the Reds in front of their home fans.
The New England Revolution are back, and 2008 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss exciting matches against conference rivals DC United and the New York Red Bulls, Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, and the Revolution's first ever appearance in Superliga, featuring the best teams from Major League Soccer and Mexico. Revolution season tickets also guarantee your ticket for David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. This event sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order season tickets today. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh, my goodness! Michael Kronkhorst, are you kidding me?
Revolution. He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots extra points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com. When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Miles and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Freddie took a trip over to Bass Pro to meet loyal listener Doug from Blackstone. Let's listen in.
Hey, Gary, Fred, you have any idea what Doug looks like? Bye.
That's a trip to Bass Pro with Fred Kirsch.
All right, back here. Jeff also brought down a bag of popcorn
that Fred can't stop eating.
It's called TT Buds out of Burlington, Mass. Very good.
Sweet and salty.
And it's gluten-free.
Wait a minute. When you first tried it, didn't you say, I don't like sweet popcorn?
No, but now that I've had a few more.
I'm just saying.
Now that I've eaten half the
bag. I don't like that kettle corn, but I like this. This is
it's
good.
Light.
Yeah, it's very light.
It's not heavy sweet.
So it's called TT Buds popcorn. Fresh in New England.
TNT stands for Tom and Tim.
Is that right?
They met in the summer of 95. That's what it says on the back of the bag.
Oh, and now they're partners or what?
I think they are indeed partners.
That was really interesting.
In a number of ways.
But it's good popcorn. What? It's very fresh
and
light.
Business.
So TT Buds for your popcorn needs. All right.
for your popcorn needs. I wonder if that's available region-wide.
It probably is.
Region-wide?
You mean nationwide?
No, it's region-wide. Region.
I don't think it's available nationwide.
Maybe it's only like north of Boston or something.
Well, Google it. TT Buds.
TTBuds.com.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Stephen Westford writes in, I need to take issue with Fred about something he said on Tuesday's show. Well, once again talking about Bass Pro Wings, Fred said lately they had been fatty and loose. I almost threw up in my mouth. Even when I listened to the show again, it made me almost vomit. All I could picture was an obese girl's stomach after she had major liposuction and the skid flap hangs down fatty and loose. Oh, crap. Is Eric back? I would know, but I can't listen live. Well, it was a good time while it lasted. Just kidding, Eric. No, he's not back yet, actually. I'm kidding, sick. Tom, Andy, Paul, and Fred. Maybe Eric needs to go on assignment to the other 31 teams' OTAs and training camp. That should get him away until July. Think about it, Fred. So,
well, he's going away soon, right?
You going again? Where's he going?
Oh, I meant permanently from this show.
Oh, no.
I thought we really discussed that.
I thought we had him reassigned.
The NPR
hour.
Oh,
that's right. Yeah, we were going to have him do a show with John Rook.
Yeah. Give Rook a partner, you know, open up that show a little bit. But
it's a good idea.
They'd fit in well together.
Yeah.
They're Rhode Island guys. They love the Patriots.
Imagine the emails that they'd get now.
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
I don't know if John Rook would be able to handle it.
That would be funny if we put Eric on the show and like a week later John comes to you and goes, Fred, I got to talk to you, Eric.
It's not working
out. It's not working out.
Then we shift them down to B-Low, you know, at 4 o'clock.
B-Low. The lowdown.
Let's see. John from Lynn writes in. He says, Dear Knuckleheads, are the Pats doomed this year because they lost the Super Bowl? The stats of the last few years don't look good, but were those teams just no good to begin with? The Super Bowl's loser syndrome seems to have started before the game. I just now have been able to watch the Super Bowl, and even before they started really hammering Brady, you could tell he was off his game. On his first pass to Moss, he had all day to throw, and Moss wide open, but the ball landed before his feet. Then the offense, in more ways than offensive line in more ways than one, became human turnstiles and allowed Brady to get pounded to a pulp. I find it disturbing that players don't want to watch that game, as painful as it may be, because you bet their opponents will be studying it carefully. And don't give me the Giants are just so good. The Pats O-line handled them just fine in Game 16. The real problem was lack of heart, and it wouldn't surprise me if some fat and happy veteran is released or traded. Maybe Matt Light, who didn't care because he never wears his 3 Super Bowl rings anyway. Wow. My question is, what would shake up this team to break the Super Bowl loser syndrome? And P.S., maybe you guys should fix Eric up with Felger.
I don't think there's any question about it.
Corey Dillon would probably think they're a cute couple.
The loser syndrome is something, actually, that I wanted to explore in the offseason, and I'm hoping to do that maybe next month. The stats are undeniable. Now, I think there's got to be more to it than just numbers, and that's what I want to kind of look into. But you look at the last whatever many years you want to go back to, and the numbers aren't pretty. The only Super Bowl loser to make the playoffs, I think, in the last 5, 6, 7 years has been Seattle, and they did it with a 9-7 record. So, I mean, you can't get beyond the, you know, you just can't ignore it. There's a hangover there from losing the Super Bowl. The Patriots are clearly the most talented team to be in this category, however.
Right. That's the biggest thing. We talked about this. A lot of those teams were NFC teams where you're talking about the inferior conference.
Anybody can get there.
Where anybody can get there, which means, in turn, anybody cannot get there the next year because you weren't that good.
Right.
So
I agree.
I mean, that's a big part of it in my mind.
I mean, it's Carolina, Chicago.
Now there'll be specific reasons on, you know, an injury here, a specific issue, but I think the bigger issue is they weren't that good. They were probably considered the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th best team in football. They weren't considered one of the 2 best teams in football when they were playing in the game that was supposed to be.
The only one that I would say was like a really legitimate team. Well, I should say 2. I would say the Rams were 1, that the Patriots beat and the Eagles. Now, the Eagles completely self-destructed in year two of T.O.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an extenuating circumstance. The Rams, I think, just kind of it ran its course.
Well, I think you could argue
Kurt Warner's injury problems and Marshall Faulk was toward at the end of the road.
And it was the Mike Martz era. And I think that's a little bit of it was built by Dick Vermeil. And you've seen since that Mike Martz isn't quite the genius everyone thought he was in terms of holding a team together and being a team guy.
And you saw them even 2 years later lost a double overtime playoff game at home in which they were heavily favored against Carolina. The year Carolina went and played the Patriots in 2003. So that team was still pretty good. But
I think they were talented.
Most of the
good,
other the Chicago Bears, they weren't that good. They just weren't, they were probably a decent team and a playoff caliber team, but probably not a 13-3, 14-2 team that rolled to the Super Bowl and all that. So I think there is some. I want to try to look into it. Talk to some
coaches.
If
the Patriots go 8-8, I'll buy in.
Oh yeah, and I think clearly light years ahead the Patriots are in terms of talent with
not even
the
close.
Seattle's, the Carolinas, and all those other teams that lost in the Super Bowl.
Dave in Alexandria says, I was wondering if you could provide some insight as to what final touches you think the Patriots will need before we start the regular season. If a significant portion of the draft prospects won't make the cut as expected, what positions would the Pats need to fill, and what players do you think they could target? Thanks for the great show. Give my best to the sheriff. Hopefully when he gets back, he'll still have his swagger and won't be stuck with a whiny bitch voice like Eric.
Have you noticed every email ends with a shot at Eric?
Yeah.
Imagine, oh, someone's at the door.
Hi, it's Lori Baranski. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day. I'm not saying anything about my breasts. Guys, you all suck.
Today's, and Gary digging very hard, he likes to tie it into the show. And Fred, nonstop eating of T's buds. We're going to go with popcorn surprise. That's popcorn surprise.
I know what that one is, and Andy's going to have it in about 20 minutes.
No, it's different.
What?
It involves going to the movies, getting a tub of popcorn.
Oh, like a diner?
Cutting a hole in the
diner?
Bottom.
Booger?
Placing something in the hole. Nice. Asking your female cohort if she wants some popcorn. And when she goes, she gets more than she bargained for in the tub. Mm. But I didn't say any of the... I mean, the way they write it on there, they use words I shouldn't probably use on the air. They make it more provocative.
All right.
13-year-old might be listening.
Carol Heathrow, right?
What? This isn't a movie?
Diner. Great movie.
Who's in it?
Mickey Rourke.
It's one of those quirky kind of buddy films, and they kind of go
Mickey
on
Rourke, Tim Daly.
What era are we talking here?
Ellen Barkin. It was, what was that, maybe early 80s, But it's set in the 50s.
Gary from Syracuse says, me and my buddy were watching TV last night and saw a field goal being made in one of the NFL highlight films. The ball just made it over the crossbar, and it got us thinking, is it legal to have someone stand at the goalpost and block it from going in?
It is not.
We see so many balls just making it over the crossbar that if it was legal, I would think teams would do this, especially in long attempts.
Yeah, it's no longer legal. That actually used to happen, especially when the goalposts were on the field. It's not legal.
That's
you can't
stupid.
Do it.
So that's good. That's when it's good to have Paul because he remembers when
the leather helmet days when they changed the rules. Why is that not legal?
I don't know, Andy. I have a lot of problems with the rule book. You guys always yell at me whenever
stupid.
I voice them.
Why is that not legal?
I don't know.
That makes no sense on any level. So you can block a kick at the line of scrimmage, but once it gets past a certain point, you can't block it anymore?
You can't stand under the goalpost and simply goaltend.
That's stupid. That's a terrible rule.
I don't know what he wants me to say.
Yeah.
Do you think that should... Is that a good rule? Give me a reason why you have that rule.
Which
God for...
I wasn't listening.
This is a surprise.
I mean, is this one of those, oh, they might sign Manute Bol and just have him stand there all the time? Like, who cares? If they want to waste a roster spot on Manute Bol to block field goals that are short, let them.
Nah, you can't do that.
Why? Yeah. Give me a good reason. Aside from,
I think it's dumb. I think you should be able to do it if you want to. I don't think a lot of teams would do it because you're leaving yourself with only 10 players.
Right.
I think you should be able to climb up on the crossbar and hang there from a wire and block it.
I think you're an idiot.
All right.
1982 for Diner, by the way.
Okay.
Daniel Stern, Steve Guttenberg, Mickey Rourke, Kevin Bacon, Tim Daly, Ellen Barkin, Paul Reiser.
Great movie. Can you look up that rule and tell me when it was enacted and why and everything? No, seriously. I hate you.
Gary just says no. Dan in Fairfax, you guys were thinking of Jason Statham in The Transporter. Statham?
I don't know what that is.
The Transporter, yeah.
Transporter.
That's what Fred was talking about.
Yeah. Oh, that's the bald guy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That you guys are talking about.
It is The Transporter, and they came out with a sequel, too.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't remember them in the theater. I only see them advertised, like, online.
They were definitely in the theater.
Cable.
Yeah. In the theater?
You saw it in the theater?
No.
You went to the theater?
Theater. Three action heroes that were great but aren't as well known as James Bond or Indiana Jones. Kurt Russell as Snake Plissken in Escape from New York.
Never seen it.
Those are pretty good.
Oh, I like
that's
Tango
a one-time
Cash, though.
Thing, though, right? What? Tango no, the, and Cash.
I like that movie.
There were at least two Escape from New York.
What is wrong with
Escape
you?
From the Actually, it was Escape from the Bronx, right? It wasn't Escape from New York.
Oh.
No, there was an Escape from New York.
Maybe the sequel is
Gary,
Escape from the Bronx.
You're already on the site. You might as well just click back.
I thought it was Escape from the Bronx.
I don't know.
From New York.
Arnold Schwarzenegger as Conan the Barbarian.
Never seen it.
Well, that's what I was asking you about Arnold, where he fits into these things.
I love Conan the Barbarian was an awesome movie. The two others after that weren't that good. That first one was amazing. You guys ever see it? No? Really?
Here's where I'm afraid.
Conan the Barbarian?
Really? Virtually all of those Arnold movies, I never saw.
Terminator?
Never saw.
What?
I've seen Terminator.
Never saw.
Oh.
I haven't seen that either. No, I never saw Predator.
Wow. How about Rock as Beck in The Rundown?
That Rock guy.
Oh, I like that Rundown movie. I didn't think he was okay.
Was that the one with Stifler?
List. Yeah.
That Rock
guy.
We
saw it on a plane, I think, once.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
Goes on too
He's
long.
Actually a good badass.
You're laughing at me for
it. What's that other movie? The remake where it's the casino in his hometown. Walking Tall. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Which is a remake that Tip says the original is phenomenal.
Yeah.
In the early 70s.
That was Bo something or another. He has this big baseball bat or something he walks around with.
Jackson?
No, it was Bo.
Svensson?
Schembechler?
I don't know.
I'm just going to rattle off Bo's.
Anyway.
He tells me to shut up.
Chris Simonelli, nice to see Chad Jackson turn the off-season training up a notch. He looks bigger than Gerard Mayo. I read Tom's Ask PFW, and he sees Victor Hobson as a nice addition. Do you guys also see a scenario where he is rotating with Brewski and Mayo?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I think
he
could be a starter. I think by the end of the year, you could see Hobson and Mayo as your starting linebackers.
I think that that's a three-man rotation.
And I won't be going anywhere number 54's locker if that happens.
And Chris
will be cranky.
I won't be going anywhere near 59's locker either because I don't want to look at the daggers getting stared at me from the 54's locker.
That's true. Where is 59 located?
Probably in the same corner that the old 59 was.
Down by the LBs.
Right?
Well, yeah, I'm just thinking how... So it goes 50. Yeah, it does.
54 is the last one on that row, and then on the side wall will be
56, 57,
maybe third or fourth one in will be Hobson. That's where Colvin was.
So no 55. It could be Woods, and then the second locker will be Mayo.
Yeah, there's no 55 or 56 or 57. So it's Woods and then Colvin.
Chris also wants to know where our T-shirts are. So
that's what I'd like to know.
We have to figure that out.
Bo equals Buford.
That's it. Buford what?
T. Pusser?
Buford Pusser.
Wait,
right.
He goes, yeah, that's it. It wasn't Bo.
That's B.
It's Buford.
Buford T. Pusser, one gulp rule?
Whatever.
There's no Bo in there. It starts with B. That's it. It wasn't even like Beauregard.
I forget what you're even talking about.
I don't really know either, but I know it says, I said, Gary writes down Bo equals Buford, and Fred goes, yeah, that's it. Like, what the hell does that mean?
Kevin wants to know if an uncapped year would help or hurt the Patriots.
It would hurt. I think it hurts everyone involved.
I don't think it would.
Plus, there's that whole rule of 8 or 12 or 6 or what is it?
Well, I think that there would be a method for doing it in that type of scenario, and the Patriots would figure out that method quicker than the other team.
Well, I agree with that.
Okay, as long as we have the logical thought process being attached to it, I don't think it helps or hurts. I don't think it hurts them at all. Right. Now, there is the one stipulation that Andy kind of alluded to. I guess they haven't really worked this out, Fred, and this might be something we can talk about today, too. supposedly the top eight teams in the league are going to be hamstrung a little bit differently than the rest of the league.
Yeah, you can only sign players if you lose them.
Yeah, right. You can only sign in proportion to what you lose in terms of money.
Right. Slotting, yeah.
Makes no sense to me. But
which never going to get
further
there.
Hurts the players because the better teams are usually the ones with money.
But that's what
they won't be able to spend.
That was my point about I think that the owners actually put one over on the players in this one because I think the players were fat and happy going woohoo uncapped year we're going to be able to cash in, not realizing they're going to have less free agents. There'll be theoretically another guy protected with the tag because there's going to be a third tag involved, and the top eight teams aren't going to be able to freely spend.
Right.
So. The pool of players that's going to actually be able to reap the benefits is going to be much smaller than it normally would.
Never happened.
Agreed.
Mensa from Bronx, what do you guys think about the possibilities of the Patriots taking a look at Henry, Odell Thurman, the ex-Bengals, and Kevin Jones, the ex-Lions, for insurance just in case there's some injuries, just as we had last year?
I think they'll look at Kevin Jones because they already have.
Because they already have.
Odell Thurman, I don't think there's any chance. Let's just look at the Cincinnati Bengals grew very tired of him very quickly since he returned. I mean, did you see the comment today where, you know, his agent tried to make it sound like family issues had led to his release? And Marvin Lewis said, quote, his grandmother's been buried for quite a while now, so let's not make it a personal issue. He was let go because he doesn't get it and never will.
No.
I mean, his teammates were talking about how he doesn't get it and never will. And this is with the Bengals, where you don't really have to get it all that much to be a Bengal.
I don't really understand the fascination that we seem to have with trying to get every single character issue in the league. As soon as they're available, we want them. Why? Haven't we done pretty well? Haven't the Patriots had enough success those guys?
Only because of character issue, guys. They started winning when Corey Dillon got here. Started winning again when Moss got here.
I
think Antoine.
They
Smith
started
might.
Winning when Corey Dillon got here. You just said.
Brian Cox in 2000. They started winning when they got Brian Cox.
Brian Cox is not
a
character issue.
Well, how would you like it if I just blogged that idiotic statement? That
I would
just
think
brought.
It's funny.
I think you should do it, Fred.
You do have a blog. You're part of PFW. It's the PFW blog, and you're part of PFW.
Only when he sees fit.
I'm out. Gotta go.
I got a meeting. I gotta go help Brian.
Let's see. Greg.
They started winning when Corey Dillon got here.
How about Jason Taylor? We should discuss this a little.
Now, that's a little bit more. Now, I don't think that's going to happen only because of the division thing, but, I mean, there's a guy who I think still probably has at least 2 years of highly competitive football left.
He says he's in better shape than he was in 05.
Five times better shape than he was when he won Defensive Player of the Year.
That's stupid.
All that dancing, it gets you.
Yeah,
you know.
He's in different shape, maybe, but let's not say better shape.
Well, he never got by on his strength. It was always his speed and agility.
No, I know, but he's in different shape. He's done different things to train. Unless he was totally slacking off throughout the offseason previous to this, and I doubt it looking at him. He's in five times better shape. He's in different shape. He's got more now of a dancer.
I just don't know how you could attach a value to that. How do you know when you're in five times better
he
shape?
He has really, he's going down the LaDainian Tomlinson road. A guy who worked very hard to build a nice public profile for himself.
And he's ruining it in like 2 months.
And just tearing it down. Shredding it in the last couple months.
What did you guys think of the comments that Sparano made?
I like
saying, well, he said he won't be here for the OTAs. He won't be here for the mini camp. He won't be here for training camp.
Right.
Do you think there's anything? I mean, do you think he informed them?
Yes.
Of that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think you can look at it two ways from their perspective. I like it in a Bengals way of, all right, you want to play games? I'm going to tell everybody what you said, and we'll just put you away. I don't like it in the sense of you're hurting your trade. If you're really trying to trade him, you're hurting yourself by saying, it's ugly and I need to trade him now.
But from what I heard, there were offers. And right. Jacksonville's, you know, the one that we heard on draft day. Matter of fact, one of our listeners actually let us in on that on draft day. They just didn't feel like it was enough for him. And I like that aspect of it. I'm not just going to give him away to appease him. If I get a deal that I think is right for Miami, then I'll trade him. Otherwise, he can sit over there and rot.
But isn't there, you say right for Miami, isn't there an argument to be made for anything is right for Miami because he might just retire? So you're getting something rather than nothing.
I think you could make an argument for that, but I think it's a tough call.
Yeah,
it's a tough
it's
call.
It's the whole precedent-setting thing.
Because let's be honest,
that's
if
why
they
I
don't
like,
trade him and he's so
I know.
Dead set, he'll just retire, He doesn't play elsewhere, so he doesn't get his way. So you can pound your chest and say, I beat you.
If you don't get anything
out
of him.
Jason Taylor, and you got nothing for it.
You're absolutely right. It's the same thing with Cincinnati and Chad Johnson.
Get the feeling there's two stubborn guys involved with Taylor and Parcells here.
Yeah, and if you don't get anything out of him, if you're Parcells and Sperano, if you don't get anything out of him this year, then for all your principle, you probably didn't do your team any good.
What's the acceleration on the cap if they trade him? He's supposed to make like $7 million this year or something like
that. Well,
he's got big salaries. The bonus would be the only thing that would matter.
Yeah, he's got big salaries. It's not something that's a deal breaker.
It's not.
Because it's seven. If he's scheduled to make $7 million, none of that would count for Miami.
$7 million this year, $8 million next year, I think.
Yeah, but that's base salaries, so you lose them.
Base.
I'm assuming.
I don't know.
Yeah, the salary.
But that's the only other reason that you would say I can't cut him because I take this huge cap hit.
Right. Now, if he had a huge sign, I don't know what the particulars are with him, but if he was scheduled to be a $7 million cap hit this year, then theoretically some of that would be a signing bonus prorated, and you would get hit with that.
What about your guy? What's up with him, Urlacher? Why isn't he at his OTAs?
Because he wants more money.
So he's holding out.
Yes.
I completely disagree with him, by the way.
I do, too. But
you sign a contract like that, that's stupidity.
The only thing I'm holding out with is if you have so many unhappy players in Chicago and guys that just seems like things never work out right, I got to think there's poor communication, that Jerry Angelo really screws all that crap up.
Well, as a Patriot fan, you can't help thinking that every one of these guys want to come here.
I'll take
that's why they're doing it. Paul doesn't like that.
I'd take Urlacher here in his heartbeat. I know that there's an element of our fans that think he's overrated. But
well, there was an element of our fans that thought he was here a couple years ago.
That was Ken Flanders.
That was Ken Flanders.
Remember, there was this rumor going around Gillette Stadium, Urlacher's here. Oh, God.
It was Garen Veris.
Right?
Yes, Garen Veris. Yes, you didn't hear that wrong. Yes, Garen Veris.
But I would take just like I would take Jason Taylor. I would take Chad Johnson.
I love Urlacher as a player. But if you're that caliber, if you're that good, how can you possibly sign such a long term? It was a 9-year deal, I think. How could you sign a long term deal like that, knowing that 2-3 years later the market's going to have changed?
Right.
You're going to be underpaid. That's just not smart business. And now he realizes it. And hey,
yeah.
Too bad.
Yeah.
While we're making our way around the league headlines, I also find it funny the reports that Dallas is going to use Pac-Man on offense, too. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. He hasn't been allowed to play in the league yet, and you're already expanding his role.
Just keep him out of the strip joints, right. And I'm worried about where
he
plays.
Should he be allowed to play?
I don't know the particulars. I mean, I really don't know the specific. There was a terrible incident, but I don't know specifically. I just don't know enough of the details. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure, again, Roger Goodell knew enough of the details when he did his decision.
Yeah, but he did lie to him.
Let me say this.
No, I know, but, well, maybe that's the rule Roger Goodell has. You lie to me and I come down hard. Bill Belichick, Pac-Man Jones.
The key for any suspension.
You brought it up.
The key for any suspension beyond this would be what Andy's talking about legally. I mean, if he is not under any more legal sanctions for his role in the Las Vegas situation, then I think he needs to be reinstated.
Right.
Now, if he's going to go to court or whatever, I'm with Andy. I don't know all the particulars. But if he ends up going to trial and he's implicated in this and, all the rumors are true that he kind of ordered this whole thing, then I think that he should be suspended.
Because
he's going to end up going to jail if that's true.
Right. You want to take that, friend?
But what's
won't be a
different
deal of suspension
between this and another story I don't know the particulars about, but I'll talk about it anyway, and Charles Grant? There's an issue there where a woman was stabbed and killed while carrying a baby. So, I mean, I don't know how involved he was or wasn't, but I read a report today. He's still working out and practicing with the Saints. So it's.
Was he practicing with the Saints or practicing in New Orleans? Was he working out at the Saints facility? I thought that was unclear when I read something about that.
I don't know. But I'm just saying.
Yes. No, you're right.
It's
you're absolutely right. Absolutely.
Situation
right.
Where there's a major criminal tragedy and you might need to let the actual investigation
take place. That's why I didn't have a problem with Goodell suspending Pac-Man last year. Let him deal with that. But now at some point, if he's not brought up on charges or anything,
right.
You could think he's the biggest dirtbag in the world. Well, I'm sure he's not the only dirtbag in the NFL or in any other league.
Right.
You can't be, judge and jury for everything.
And just because you don't like a guy or think he's a punk, that's not enough reason.
Do you agree, Fred? Do you think you should be
allowed
back?
I agree with you. If there's no further charges or he's not being implicated in this Las Vegas thing, then you kind of have to.
Yeah,
right?
No, I don't want him on my team. I don't think he's a good guy, but you can't have different rules for everybody.
Greg from Long Meadow, Mass. Says, I'm a longtime fan of the show and love listening. Noticed you guys have been poking fun at David Thomas's injury issues, but what do you think his impact on the team this year will be? I think he could contribute a lot finding the holes in zone coverage and on hot reads faster than Watson does. I like Watson a lot, but he's better on deeper routes and down the seam and doesn't get into his routes and into the open holes in coverage quick enough in the short areas. What do you think?
I think Dave Thomas is talented, has very soft hands, is a reasonably polished route runner, and can find the openings in a defense. He's got to stay healthy.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like we talked about with Randall Gay a couple years ago. Sometimes these guys, it's by no fault of their own, they just have injuries that they deal with. And you start to wonder, can I really pencil this guy in as a guy I'm going to count on? And that's where I am with David Thomas. I'd love to see him play. I think he has talent. I think he can make plays.
I think he could definitely make plays in the passing game, no question.
We'll see.
He's got to,
I do think he's a better pass catcher than Ben Watson.
Oh, no question. He's got to prove that he can stay healthy and stay on the field.
And we haven't really been making light
of it,
I don't think.
Not at all.
We're making light of the fact that Fred didn't know who the guy on the field was.
Right.
If you like, and you knew, you had to look him up.
I knew it wasn't David Thomas.
Right. We didn't know who
he
was.
I'm not saying Tyson Devery was like on the tip of my tongue.
We didn't know who
he
was.
But I didn't say
Dave Thomas making
it look easy. You said it so matter-of-factly, like it's so obvious. Randy Moss making it look easy.
I saw the six. It looked like him. Made a nice catch.
I saw a white guy.
If you like having Sue so much for the week, would you like to have an intern for the whole summer?
No.
I need a job and a minoring in public communications at Syracuse University.
Screw him.
So maybe I could help.
What do you mean by have an intern? Because Gary takes that a different way when you talk about him having
Andy.
An intern.
Oh. Goodness gracious.
Is Dan back there?
No, Gary. Oh! And he's a full-time employee.
Oh, that's right.
Gary doesn't have those.
Oh. Let's see. Matt writes in. He's got a book about Eric's travels.
How about that call from Forrest earlier, by the way? We haven't spent enough time talking about that.
You notice Forrest kind of sounded like a girl.
That's all I have to say about that.
Well,
he hasn't really hit that
phase
yet.
He was 13.
Anyway.
He doesn't have a lot of hair then, either, huh?
Oh.
What
is wrong with you?
Here are the chapters in Eric's book about his travels. One.
I'm gay.
It's hot and dark in the Sphinx, but I kind of like it. Two, at last back alley, cockfights are legal here.
I should have stuck with that first one. Man.
But apparently it involves chickens.
That's kind of funny. Too much delay there for Fred.
Right. I can't believe no one here wants to pay $10,000 for one of my paintings either. And four, I'm in denial about liking men.
Oh, see what you did there? Denial.
Right.
I have bad news for Eric. I was messing around today and found Chris Cooley's blog and website, the tight end H-back for the Redskins.
Right.
And he is like the anti-Eric. He actually plays football, first of all, and is very successful, a pro bowler. He has pictures of all his hand drawings and paintings on his website. He's better than Eric at that. And he's marrying tomorrow night a Redskins cheerleader who is absolutely phenomenally gorgeous. And he likes to do all this reading. And he's Eric, but like
only successful.
Lastly, a real football question. Any interest in either of the Bengals two-bit? Another person, Henry and Thurman Thomas.
I just find it funny. And I'm not making
Thurman. I mean, Odell Thurman.
Thurman Thomas.
Thomas, Thurman Thomas.
I should state that I am in the minority here. I think this is the viewpoint of a lot of our listeners and emailers and stuff. Every time one of these guys gets released, we get a lot of emails. It's not like one or two guys.
Right.
We get a lot of reaction right away. Odell Thurman got released. We should pick this guy up. Pac-Man Jones is.
Because I think they think he'll come here and he'll
be perfect.
Right.
But let's look at it. He wasn't perfect at Georgia.
He was suspended.
Where he got in trouble.
From the NFL.
No, but ignoring
for
two
years.
Ignoring that, if you say he got into a bad culture in Cincinnati, he was bad before he got into the culture of Cincinnati.
Exactly.
He was sent to military school and all that crap. And then he comes in, has a very good year for Cincinnati, is a playmaker, but then has multiple DUIs, drinking, gets suspended, still gets a chance to come back, and ruins that chance on a team that needs linebackers more than the Patriots. Remember when they were playing and they had Wesley Mallard and some safety playing linebacker?
Corey Mays,
some expatriate, some crappy expatriate, and a safety playing linebacker. They need linebackers more than the Patriots.
And Wesley Mallard?
So he can't fit in there. How the heck is he going to fit in here? I think Patriots fans now just see pure talent. Whatever. If the guy's talented, I'll take him.
But what I wonder,
embrace the hate, no
murder,
hate.
Optional.
What I wonder about, though, is...
And Wesley Mallard?
I think that they look at a guy... I think they look at them all the same. And every one of these guys is like Bill says. It's a case-by-case basis.
Right.
You know, Randy Moss... And
I never said that.
You know, I understand that we can be looked at as being contradictory or, you know, kind of...
Hypocrites.
But Randy Moss wasn't suspended for the league for even a day, let alone 2 years. In terms of legal trouble, like real legal trouble as a pro, and he had the one incident, and I don't want to gloss it over like it was nothing. He had the one incident with the meter maid,
right,
with his car, and that's significant. I don't want to say
he apologized the next day,
but it's not the same as constant drug use or constant issues with battery, constant situations like Pac-Man Jones where he's involved in a shooting. Those things are much more serious to me.
Moss's drug use is once in a blue moon.
All right.
That's what he said.
But I'm not talking about, again, I'm not equating that with Pac-Man Jones or Odell Thurman being out for 2 years. Right. He was so bad he got suspended for 2 seasons.
Well, because he's got a little Pac-Man in him to the point of he just doesn't care. The consequences never reach him. When he's supposed to be somewhere, he doesn't necessarily go there. He doesn't get it on whatever level, which I don't understand how that happens personally. I don't understand how an agent who is as financially tied to the guy's career as the guy is doesn't make you hire a guy like Soosh who needs an internship and say, see Odell Thurman? You find out his schedule, make sure he goes everywhere he needs to be, right? You take that job, right? I'm sure there'd be some fringe benefits for a guy like yourself. But how do agents allow these guys to slip up?
Who's this agent? Ben Dofa?
I mean, no? Wouldn't they make sure that doesn't happen?
I don't know. Apparently they have not as much control as you think.
They should.
Let's see. Tom writes in to Sally. He says the Patriots season win total for this year is set at 12.5. Would you go over or under?
Under.
The Cowboys are 11. I'm going big on the under.
12.5.
Under. 12-4.
I'm going to go over. I'm going to say 13-3.
Okay.
Fred will take the over.
I would not feel good. I think that's a great number for the Patriots.
Perfectly set.
Because I would not feel real good about taking either side of that. So I think that's a good number.
Yep.
But I don't know. 13-3, I think.
Soosh, what do you think?
12.5 even. On the number. 12.5.
He just morphed into Eric over there.
I agree.
Were we talking about
my understanding crudités? There would be no math.
I don't know.
A road convert.
Yeah, Gary's stupid wedding stuff.
How do you say that stuff that you have in your wedding? Yeah, a
convert.
Yeah.
Okay, because Eric in Egypt writes in, I think you were referring to crudités. That's
no.
Eric in Egypt?
Yeah.
Our Eric in Egypt?
But crudité is not fancy.
What is crudité?
It's like your cheese and stuff at the beginning. Like your, what do they call it? Hors d'oeuvres and stuff at the beginning of yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to keep that one in mind when I have people over and say, would you like some crudité? A little bit of cheese and crackers.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's like what you would have at like your cocktail hour.
Cerveza con lime. Bud Light Lime.
And Tom also says, good thing we stopped with all the gay jokes.
What gay jokes?
Those are the listeners, by the way, with the gay jokes. That was the guy who said,
right.
What do you say? It's dark in my Sphinx.
Well, have your intern is
that's
she's
not
a woman. You're a man. It's not gay.
That's not gay. That actually right. happened.
You married her. You gonna have kids? You gonna have kids?
Well,
someday.
She's got to wait a few years.
Why?
Move
not
on.
Old enough.
Move along, Gary.
She's said. Not old
she's
enough.
She's not old enough. She hasn't reached that
childbearing
age yet. Gary, not happy.
See, it hurts more coming from Fred, doesn't it? Even more than it does from me.
Strippers have some predictions, over and unders. Adrian Peterson, over or under 1,700 yards?
Under.
How many? I say under, 1,700.
Under, he gets hurt.
Yeah.
Chad Jackson, over or under 4 touchdown catches?
Over.
Everyone, over.
Actually, Andy
only
hasn't
Paul
answered,
answered, but I'll go over.
I knew you would.
Speaking to the mic.
Tom Brady over or under 40 touchdown passes?
Under.
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 Really? Okay.
I'm just going with the trend of his career. And since every other one was like 26,
oh,
back under.
I was
going
to say, the trend of his career, he threw 50 last year.
Right.
And you think he had a terrible
he's
year?
Going up.
Oh, I do, do I?
You say something the other day about he didn't have a great year or something.
Actually, no, I was talking about somebody else, and I said, see, anybody could do it with Brady throwing it.
Victor, or Joel wants to talk about Bob Ryan's article in the Globe. Did you guys read that?
Yeah.
You want to be more specific?
Paul
loved
it.
Well, he says, I was going to call in, but I can't find the number. I listen all the time, but usually I'm at work, so I can't call. Anyway, that's the one thing I will give Eric credit for. He gives the number out at the beginning of the show. Anyway, on to my question. Did any of you guys read the Bob Ryan article in the Globe on Monday? He basically compares Belichick to Nixon and draws comparisons between the whole Watergate, Spygate thing. In my opinion,
so
that's a
ridiculous.
Bit of a stretch, but that's not what bothered me. The article begins with him referring to the fact that the Patriots are heretofore forever stained due to association. And I can agree with the guilt by association thing. Fairness has absolutely nothing to do with it. But then he goes on to compare the Patriots to the reverse Black Sox. He says that they will be remembered as the team that was caught cheating. At this point, I think he changes the article from guilt by association to guilt by collusion. If you think about it, what are the reverse Black Sox? The teams that didn't get caught cheating? Implying that the team cheated, they just didn't get caught. And to me, that's collusion. What do you guys think?
Now, the reverse Black Sox was that one team cheated to try to win and the other team cheated to lose intentionally. There's
right.
the reverse. That's Bob Ryan's point before I get yelled at. That was what
right.
he meant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, they were
one team
they were
cheated,
throwing games.
One team
and the other
cheated
was...
intentionally to lose.
Right.
The other team cheated to win. I
right.
mean, that's the reverse.
Right. Different motive, same
right.
method.
Money was the motive in the end for both.
I saw the Sunday piece with Ryan. I thought it was a little bit over the top, but I thought it was good, and I thought some of the points that Bob made were accurate in talking about the Crafts and how they're kind of stuck in between a rock and a hard place, because the success is great for you financially, but kind of hollow in fact in the light of how you're now perceived and forever will be as long as Bill is your coach. And if you lose, not only are you dealing with the negatives of losing, but you're dealing with people saying, see, I told you, you couldn't do it without all that other stuff that you were doing. So I think some of the joy has probably been taken away from the Kraft family in all of this.
Could be.
Tom says, are you kidding me, Andy, about the gay jokes? It's the listeners. Someone wrote in and said, I noticed something about Eric, and Andy instantly blurted out, he's gay.
I don't often recall some of the remarks I make.
You can't even help it.
He doesn't.
No cage.
I could just see Tom sitting there like, what is he out of his mind? He's like, he can't get the emails out fast enough.
Ever since that colonoscopy, my memory's not so good. We get made fun of for going off track and having shows on stupid stuff. For the entire hour that we've been on since 1 o'clock, ESPN has been doing Man versus Bear, could an NFL player score a touchdown against a bear? And they're breaking it down. So everybody who has to fill
not
time...
Not only that, but they're talking to a baseball writer
right.
about whether or not he could do it.
Well, I thought it was Urlacher.
Well, oh. you see, you do know why they're doing it,
no.
though, with the hockey play. You didn't. They put a bear in hockey skates.
Oh, nice.
You didn't see that? Like
now,
two
Fred,
weeks,
that
like
would
two
work.
Weeks
put
ago?
A bear in football pads and a helmet out there in the preseason. This place will be packed.
And they'll be going to the concessions.
P.T. Barnum would do it.
Maybe that's it. You put wild animals
Bill
out
Vec
the field
would do
during
it.
The preseason games.
That's a good – bring that one to the Crafts. Don't tell them I said it, though.
Gary from Syracuse.
Unless, of course, they like it.
Gary's got a good action hero that we overlooked. Clint Eastwood as Dirty Harry.
I thought of that. I forgot to say it.
But also, I think Clint Eastwood as the stranger in the spaghetti western movies he used to be in.
Spaghetti western?
You never heard of that? You know what that is, right, Paul?
No.
Spaghetti westerns?
Mean they take place at like dinner time?
No, there was a long, back in the early 70s and 60s, a lot of the westerns were actually shot in Italy.
Oh.
And they used to call them spaghetti westerns.
I did not know
never
that.
Heard of it.
Like Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, all those.
So there's like that kind of terrain in Italy?
Yeah.
Is there a difference in action hero for you, between like a Western, like a John Wayne, Clint Eastwood type? No, is that
John Wayne,
John
Wayne's in action here.
Oh, then John Wayne's got to be in it. I don't know what for, what character, but just John Wayne.
Yeah, I would say John Wayne has to be in there.
How about Charles Bronson?
Yeah, absolutely. Charles Bronson.
Death Wish?
See, now
it's
we're kind
of...
Now we're taking actors and their personas, too, like Chuck Norris or Charles Bronson.
Well, no,
Bronson.
I'm saying Charles Bronson is... I don't know what the name of the character is in Death Wish, but there was like five of them.
Right.
How about Bruce Lee? Enter
Jackie
the Dragon.
Chan.
Jackie Chan.
Is he trying to leave? What is this music?
That's Indiana Jones.
Oh.
You really just...
Oh, you don't tell me you don't know
Indiana Jones. You've
completely
blocked out every
music.
Bit of that.
It's just
you?
Not that good.
Oh, you're an idiot.
The only good scene is the scene...
That's the reaction I was looking for from Fred, and he didn't give it to me. Gary wants to fight you now.
Oh, God.
What is?
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
It's one of the greatest movies of all time.
Plus, you can go to Disney and go in and be a part of that scene and stuff. It's the coolest thing.
I didn't know I entered Dorkville when I walked in the door here today.
You're just mad because your head's too big for a fedora.
Is it?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You get fedoras in any size, I'm sure.
No, it would look like a sombrero on you. It would have to be so big.
A fedora. Be like a spaceship on his head.
It's
like Sputnik.
Kieran says Paul's an idiot.
I agree too.
How the hell have you not seen The Terminator? Even gay boy Eric has seen it.
I really have no defense for that, Kieran. There's a lot of movies that every person, certainly every male, has seen that I haven't for whatever reason. And it's not an intentional thing. It's not like I was avoiding those movies. I have no explanation for it. Die Hard, right?
You've never seen Die Hard?
I have.
Oh.
But it was a long time before I did. Like, everybody that I knew had seen it like 27 times before I finally saw it. Usual Suspects was another one of those. I have no explanation for these things. They just, sometimes these movies slip through the cracks on me.
Kieran also says
I have no explanation.
Bruce Willis and Die Hard. Yep, we did mention.
I mean,
that.
He's one of the top couple.
See, but I look at like Bruce Willis and Die Hard, right? John McClane. I look at him much different than I would like a Western, like Clint Eastwood. I mean, great.
Right, they're the same guy, just a different setting.
Yeah, but it's different.
Now we're gonna have subcategories.
No, I just
in the best tough guy Western category.
No, that's part
Clint
of that,
Eastwood.
That's
dirty.
What makes it fun to debate it, though.
Now, Dirty Harry, is that the one with the gorilla?
W in progress.
Every which way but loose.
Oh.
Why are you looking at me like that? That's what it is.
How about Harrison Ford in those Tom Clancy movies?
Great. John Ryan. Great. Yeah. That's an action movie.
How about Jason Bourne?
Bourne.
You go.
That's good.
Matt Damon. Yeah.
He would definitely be in there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Those are good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Matt Damon's good in everything. I have to admit. That's why.
He's very good. It's funny how like his movies are such more quality than his Ben Affleck.
A Fleck?
Right?
Well, yes, it's accurate.
Matt Damon's, I think, a much more talented
guy.
Based on what's happened in their careers, I'm thinking that Matt Damon wrote
Good Will Hunting.
And
Ben Affleck just sat up.
It was kind of like what I did to Andy last week. I wrote the story online and put my by Paul Perlow on Andy Hart.
Except it wasn't good in this case.
Oh.
I didn't read it.
RJ in Vegas has...
I put your name on the Chad Jackson thing, too, you know.
Has an email, mostly for Tom, because Tom was wondering how it's like living out in Las Vegas. And he's got a very long email talking about living in Las Vegas and how it was really cool. But also that he mentions one thing that I thought was interesting, and this will be right up Tom's alley. He says, everyone, it seems like, has relationships out of marriage. It's weird. Maybe it's just the city. I don't know, but it happens a lot.
I like young girls.
That's why it's called Sin City.
He actually lives in Henderson, which is right outside of it.
And that's where Tom wants to live.
Right. So I'll save that email for you, Tom, and you can use it as reference.
And use it as an excuse for why you're cheating on Allison. Everyone's doing it.
Just read this guy's email.
And Kieran from Ireland also says that Soosh sounds like douche.
Right. That's why we called him that yesterday.
We already
had douchebag.
We already established that.
Soosh the douche. Sorry about that.
No offense.
You really never got anything like that before?
Oh, all the time.
Oh. What do people call you to make fun of you?
Soosh the douche.
That's it?
Yeah.
Are you listening?
Look at that douchebag.
TG from Jersey. I guess he's not sick of Spygate. Says I know you guys are sick of it, and I don't want to get Fred and Paul started, but
I promise not to get in an argument with Fred.
I got one last question regarding this whole thing. What of Eric the Rat Mangini? Did he have any clue what he was doing when he opened this Pandora's box? Florio was questioning Charlie Weiss's legitimacy the other day on his blog. Does this doubt also reflect to Rat Genie?
It's the Pats coach, sweetie.
The Pats Super Bowls are in questions. Hey, Rat Genius, your actions have undermined those rings on your fat fingers. Do you guys think he feels any remorse whatsoever? I find it hard to believe he is comfortable with the way things played out. You got to figure he didn't want it to turn into a monster it became.
My favorite was him mixing a salad.
What have Rat Genie, Tomasi, and Matt Walsh gained for their efforts to discredit the Patriots? Neither look any better off. Actually, they all come off looking worse. Mangini has become a rat. Tomasi's reputation is forever tarnished. And everyone in America now knows that Matt Walsh is a tool. How many Patriots fans will be booking a vacation to a particular golf resort in Hawaii in the not-too-distant future? And let's not forget Spectre. I don't like him before. Now I really hate him. The J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
I agree with the theme of that email, but I think he left out some names that also did not color themselves in glory.
Everybody who touched that this thing touched, it hurt.
Right.
On both sides.
Yes. And Mangini, no, I don't think he knew what was going to happen because I don't think he was the key player in this. I think Tannenbaum was.
Do you think it's accurate to say that Tomasi, Walsh, and Mangini set out to discredit the Patriots?
No. I just think they wanted to stop them from doing it in that game.
No, but I've said, like, you know, especially with Tomasi, do you think that his, you know, he wrote the story because he said, I know how I can take them down. This is what I'm going to do.
No.
I think there's been some, the last week and a half has been a lot of piling on, and he deserves it. He made a mistake, and he deserves to be criticized for it. I'm not making excuses for him, but does anybody think that he made this up? Does anybody think that he didn't have a source at all?
No, I think we all know he had a source, but the source wasn't a good one.
And that's why he made a mistake.
Right.
Okay? Because the source that he had wasn't to be trusted, and he should have maybe displayed better judgment.
Right.
But I've heard a lot, Fred, of people saying, if you didn't see that tape, how can you print this story? Are you kidding me? Just because you didn't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist, or it never existed. Maybe it doesn't exist anymore.
I never saw dinosaurs.
You know what I'm saying? That's not why he made a mistake. I think what you just hit the nail on the head. It wasn't a good source. It wasn't a trustworthy source.
Right.
And maybe he should have had better judgment as a journalist to say, I'm not sure this guy is credible.
Right.
That's where I think he ran into trouble. I don't think he tried to take the Patriots down.
Andrew also says another action here. Will Smith. Would that be Men in Black?
I didn't like any of those movies.
He does not fit in this category in my mind.
I don't think so.
Independence Day?
But that's just one movie.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah. We're kind of going with it has to be a recurring character,
kind of,
right?
A character.
Plus, I didn't think he was.
I didn't like the. I love Will Smith, but I don't like those movies.
Nah, it doesn't fit. They're talking about it again on ESPN, and they had
Best
Bourne
action
identity.
Hero of all time now.
Jason Bourne was up there. Some black guy.
Oh, that's Shaft.
Shaft.
Right, right. Yep.
So that's not recurring, though, is it?
Yeah, two.
Oh, there were
there
two?
Were two shafts. Yep. All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW.
Earlier.
That's all right.
It's not even 5:00.
Somewhere in the world, it's 2:00. All right.
I don't think so.
Somewhere in the world, it's 6:00.
It's 6:00.
Whatever
of,
the hour
it's
is.
It's 6:00 something everywhere.
All right, well, let's see. Anything going on this weekend? We got the lacrosse coming to Gillette.
Huge. Bill
Big
Belichick will be in attendance.
They're expecting Fred to set the record for attendance at the NCAA Division
I. Tickets are still available. You can walk up and buy them. And it's a
drive.
Good take. It's all weekend, and it's going to be great. So we'll be doing that. And next week we have mini camps coming up.
We'll have two more days of access next week. I think
Wednesday, Thursday.
Right.
And so Andy and I will be on hand.
And so
we
will see you next Tuesday. All right, welcome. We're here. It is Saturday, April 26th, and finally, draft day is here. And this, of course, is PFW in Progress's draft extravaganza. We're all here getting ready to do what we do on draft day.
Now, Andy Hart breaks down the NFL draft.
And the Patriots are sitting there with Ellis, either draft him or trade.
Or Mendenhall.
One.
Scouts Inc. agrees with me. They have Mendenhall as
two.
The
third best player available.
The top 10.
There's no way he gets past the Jets at this point.
Ooh, Mendenhall?
Three.
Ryan and McFadden.
Yeah. Maybe Mendenhall.
Four.
Everybody here thinks the Jets will take Golston.
Rashard Mendenhall available.
Five.
For the record, Scouts Inc. has Ellis, then Mendenhall, then
Six.
Rivers.
I gotta think this is a guaranteed trade.
Rashard Mendenhall, best player available.
Seven.
good.
But who do the Cowboys want?
Rashard Mendenhall.
8.
What does Cincinnati do here? Rashard Mendenhall?
9.
Chris Williams or that Brandon Albert?
I'm going Rashard Mendenhall.
10.
Who's Dallas a target?
Rashard Mendenhall.
Yeah. 11.
You think he's dumb, but he's smart, and he knows who the best back in this draft is. Rashard Mendenhall.
12.
I still think teams are going to kick themselves years down the road for passing on Rashard Mendenhall here.
13.
Terrible pick.
Why?
You left the best running back on the board in Rashard Mendenhall.
14.
If they take Rashard Mendenhall, it's a steal at 14.
15.
Start writing the story now in 5 years about looking back how they could have had Rashard Mendenhall.
16.
The news is the Lions got Rashard Mendenhall. Hopefully.
17.
Arizona could get Mendenhall.
18.
I just can't believe Rashard Mendenhall is falling like a stone.
19.
Rashard Mendenhall dropping like a stone.
20.
If you're Tampa Bay, do you take Rashard Mendenhall?
Yeah, but if I was any team in the last 15, I would have taken Mendenhall.
21.
Who's on the clock? Tampa? If they don't take
Rashard Mendenhall,
I'd be disappointed in
22.
I mean, Houston trading back up to get Mendenhall.
23.
Now, is this definitely for Mendenhall?
Yeah, why wouldn't it be? Yeah, I got to say it's for Mendenhall. It's got to be.
24.
If you draft Mendenhall, he can be complimentary.
25.
Then you have Mendenhall, who I think can be a franchise back.
26.
Pittsburgh, Mendenhall.
27.
Mendenhall, and I can root for the Steelers with Roethlisberger and Mendenhall.
29.
Lima Swede to Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh Steelers select Rashard Mendenhall.
Sorry, but the Patriots became the second best team in the AFC right then. Mendenhall is ridiculous here.
30.
He's only said that's a terrible pick, the last six picks, until Mendenhall went. Then he clapped wildly.
Yeah, Eric, and you're supposed to be the gay one.
Who's on the clock? By the way, I lost interest once Mendenhall got drafted.